The Labor Day event from Dell Technologies is here, and it's time to take productivity to another level. End the summer strong by upgrading your growing business to the latest tech. This new season begins with up to 48% off top performance laptops like Bostro, taking performance to the next level with 12th gen Intel Core processors. You'll also save big on monitors, docks, mice, and more must-have accessories. Plus, get free shipping on everything. It's the perfect time to get ahead with powerful tech designed to stay motivated throughout the year and encourage collaboration and innovation among your team. Now, at special prices for a limited time only. Summer might be gone, but it's just the beginning. What's next for you? Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to save up to 48% on our latest technology.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Daddy's hosting today, kids.
Oh, yeah.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I think it's been pretty obvious the mutual decision on both sides is to move on.
Baker's the one. You're breaking up with me. I'm breaking up with you first.
Today's guests, ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan, Panthers wide receiver DJ Moore, PGA Tour golfer Mark Hubbard, plus writer and director Ron Shelton. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Can confirm, sources say, and there I am, right here on Peacock. Sirius XM Channel 85, NBC Sports Audio. Great to see and chat with all of you on this Rich Eisen Show, Terrestrial Radio Network, the Odyssey app, our podcast listeners. Everybody has a right to download a podcast, and we're available where all podcasts are available and acquired, thanks to the Cumulus Podcast Network. Our YouTube stream, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, is your safety net for anything that you may miss over the next 3 hours. We've got four guests. We're four wide today, and we're three wide in studio with me right here under center for you. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you?
What's up, Rich? What's happening?
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. Mike Del Tufo getting set to complete day three of his Angeles Rich Eisen Show residency this week. TJ Jefferson, good to see you. The candle's lit. You already lit the candle. What's going on?
Well, you know, pre-show I heard Mikey and Chris and Adam discussing their favorite genres and times of hip-hop, and I got to say I found it quite amusing. They weren't even including me into the combo.
It wasn't hip-hop. We were talking about eras of music, and you chose to not get involved.
Well, I mean, you know, I was standing right there.
You're so far away.
You're very good. I'm glad.
I don't understand. Things were going so great.
Thank you. We just started.
What happened? Something must have happened.
We just started.
I just said I found your conversation.
Why would you come on the air and air a grievance of something that happened 10, 15 minutes ago that you could have rectified on the spot?
Okay, what I said was I found it amusing, their conversation. That wasn't a grievance. Okay. It was just an observation.
There was a tone that we don't know what we're talking about when it comes to music.
Well, I mean, I can't help it that you read into it like that.
Oh, God. Let me step in and say, I can't believe I have to separate. I will pull this car over.
What is happening? It's all right.
Welcome to this program, everybody. It's the July 4th weekend that's coming up. The National Football League is dormant, with the exception of whatever's going on in that conference room, wherever they are in the NFL world, talking about Deshaun Watson's past history transgressions. That's going on. Day two of his disciplinary hearing is happening. In the world of actual football players that are not in such a predicament, DJ Moore of the Carolina Panthers will join us at the top of hour number two. We also are going to have on this program Mark Hubbard, our new favorite player on the PGA Tour. We mentioned this last week prior to the Travelers there in River Highlands in Connecticut, Cromwell, Connecticut, right. The TPC there, where I have still left many divot marks from 1996 through 2003, my tenure at the Worldwide Leader. And we mentioned him because he was the one who got a spot in the Travelers because Brooks Koepka was tapped out because he's playing on the LIV Tour. And he and Patrick Reed appeared at a press conference this week, and they didn't have much to say. And
you see that Koepka looked at all the reporters and honestly said, you know, I never considered joining the LIV Tour until after the U.S. Open.
Whatever.
Sure, bro.
Honestly, there are so many lips
Your
moving.
Brother's on tour.
On that live tour, there are so many moving lips on that live tour. And you know what? The reason why we're having Mark Hubbard on is because he's that tour professional who's been grinding on the tour since 2015, who got a spot last week. When he finished tied for 46th.
Top 50. Yeah.
And so now he's at the John Deere, the next stop that tees off tomorrow. So we figured let's have him on and talk about the world of a grinding professional tour player. And I'm imagining he has not gotten a call from Greg Norman or the Saudis or whoever that person
Who
might
knows?
Be that's
I mean,
contacting maybe. Players for the Live Tour, on behalf of the Live Tour. I think we know who is, and it's former professional player David Sims from Tin Cup.
That's right.
And I can't wait to bring that up to Ron Shelton when he steps in studio in person in hour number three. And he's got a new book out called The Church of Baseball about the making of Bull Durham. And this book is terrific, and I'm already thinking it maybe should be like a TV show like The Offer, which I'm into. Susie and I have been binge-watching now that our children aren't around asking for the remote or screaming and yelling at each other or needing one of us to break each other up because they're all in camp.
How quiet is your house?
Oh. The Church of Baseball, everybody. Ron Shelton will be here to talk about this book and all of his tremendous movies that we have fallen in love with. One of the best storytellers I know here in Los Angeles that I've gotten a chance to meet in the last 20 years. He'll be here in studio hour number three. And there's a lot of baseball on the brain. I mean, it is June. What's today's date?
Rich,
well, actually, put it. Do we have the American League standings?
Yeah,
we have the American League standings. Yes. That's my way of asking what day it is. There it is.
Hey.
Yankees won again last night as Jose Trevino, the catcher from nowhere, figuratively nowhere.
He keeps hitting home runs.
Well, he came up with the first run batted in for the Yankees last night, which is all they wound up needing because Trevino called a good game behind the plate. No runs for the Athletics,
well,
which
helps,
is a usual
helps
thing.
That you're playing a double A team.
Well, I mean, they don't have anybody who's hitting over 250 on their team right now. I understand. But Trevino, not only he picked off a runner at first, he threw out a stealer at second, and he was hitting fifth last night. He's now hitting fifth in the order, and that's it's a great number for the Yankees because their win total currently starts with a five and ends with a five. They have a speed limit right now.
They can't drive.
Through 75 games, they have won 55 of their first 75, and Judge struck out three times last night, and they still won that game. So, Chris, what day is it?
It's June 29th.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so baseball's on the brain, June 29th. The All-Star break is here in Los Angeles.
That'll be fun.
The All-Star game is here in Los Angeles coming up next month, and the crazy thing is it appears a Los Angeles Dodger here in Los Angeles, probably looking forward to that break so he can go back to Atlanta. I have been around this planet, this sports world for quite some time, folks, thankfully. Thank the Lord. I'm very fortunate, very, very fortunate to have been talking sports ever since 1994 when Redding, California, KRCR television. We're on in Redding every single day on this crazy sports radio world. And then I got to SportsCenter 96, the NFL in 2003, the NFL Network. Anyway, I bring up my past in history just to say is I've never really heard of a free agent making his like $160 million over a contract. Much of it, a large portion of it, deferred to the point that once this player retires, he gets $5 million a year up until 2039. I mean, he's going to make Bobby Bonilla look like a deferred money pauper.
That's a really good
deferred money pauper. Great. Yeah. Put that run down. And you're also signing for that money in Southern California. The sky is blue. The sun is bright yellow. The ocean is gorgeous. You could choose wherever you want to live here in this beautiful spot.
Great place.
And the team that you've signed with, perennial contender, because they don't care how much money they're spending. They look the make the Yankees and, Chris, your Red Sox and now your Mets TJ look like bikers when it comes to just spending money. They're tightwads compared to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Never heard of a player signing into that situation and have signer's remorse. How many free agents have signer's remorse? There have been some, I would say.
Yeah, there's some.
Cooling off period.
But no cooling Freddie off. Freeman, by all accounts, wonderful human being. One of my favorite videos I've seen in the last 15 years coming out of baseball was him meeting a kid dressed as him trick-or-treating, right? Remember that video a few years ago? Freddie Freeman stopped trick-or-treating with his kid, saw a kid dressed as him trick-or-treating and surprised the kid. Just wonderful. He's good people, man. And you saw him back in Atlanta this week, teary-eyed, I mean, really emotional. The fans love him. He loves them. And he's wearing Dodger blue and he's crying. And I totally get that is happening. It makes complete sense that you go back there and you're feeling that emotional and you're showing it. And as you know, I show emotion here all the time. I feel like Dick Vermeil sometimes on this show. I'm crying a lot here from this chair. But I am who I am and Freddie is who he is. But then came the news yesterday. You let me know that he it looks like he's changing agents now.
Right. Or got and rid I'm of like, his team, yeah.
Why would he be changing agents? And I don't know, you put two and two together, just reading into a situation, I don't know, just you just read stuff and you see stuff and you hear stuff. Is it possible Freddie Freeman, when he went back to Atlanta, chatting around a batting cage or strolling through a hall, ran into somebody from the Braves organization who told him a backstory or two about his negotiation to stay in Atlanta and how it broke down and what the Braves were told and what his agent may have been telling the Braves that he might not have somehow known, which is wild because Freeman was unsigned going into the lockout. And there were people signing before the lockout. Didn't Scherzer sign with your Mets before the lockout?
Please.
I think he did. People were being signed before the lockout. Freeman was not one of them. Coming out of the lockout, people are signing left, right, up, and down. Who was one of the last to sign? Freddie Freeman. Yankees, you know, kept the light on for him. They put his jersey on their hope chest in the Bronx and then decided, screw it, we got to go to Anthony Rizzo, which is, by the way, outstanding. Outstanding. And I'm glad they didn't bring in Freddie Freeman because, you know, he might be somewhat emotional still in New York. Having signer's remorse with a Yankees team that might have 50-some-odd wins with him. Rizzo's hit big home runs. He's only hitting like 220, but I just love everything about him. And he was with the team last year. There's no chemistry issues. Certainly there is a chemistry issue, it seems, with the Dodgers as Clayton Kershaw quoted as saying over the weekend, it's very cool to see Freeman's reception Friday night. He's obviously been a big contributor for our team, and I hope we're not second fiddle. It's a pretty special team over here, too. I think whenever he gets comfortable over here, he'll really enjoy it. It was a good night for him Friday. And Clayton Kershaw, another great human being, who, by the way, I've seen personally trick-or-treating.
That's right.
Dressed as Mr. Incredible. Had no idea I was strolling up to his house trick-or-treating with my kids. Another great human who understands other great humans. And even he's saying, I hope we're not second fiddle. It seems like as we're on, I know we're kind of coming full circle here. What's today's date again? I don't need to see the standings.
It's June 29th.
June 29th. He still hasn't adjusted to life here in Southern California. Let me tell you something. When I signed with NFL Network as a free agent for far, far less money and nothing deferred like this guy has deferred, it took me a grand total of 5 minutes to be acclimated to Southern California life and NFL Network. I mean, it was great. Even when I was showing up and I was seeing ESPN at the Super Bowl, I'm like, I'm living my life, man. The grass is so freaking green here. You have no idea. And I was in 10 million homes on NFL Network compared to, at the time, in the peak of no cord cutting and cable television, 105, 110 million homes on ESPN. I had somebody come up to me when Susie got the two of us into an NBA All-Star party as she was covering the Lakers at the time. I even got somebody coming up to me saying, I watch you every day. I'm like, no kidding. You have NFL Network already? And the guy says, no, I don't have NFL. Well, you're on NFL Network? I'm like, yeah, I left ESPN. He goes, when? And I'm like, months ago. And he looks at me, he goes, are you all right? And I'm like, I can fog up a mirror for you if I want. Like, this is the stuff I was going through. And I wasn't being paid all that money like Freddie Freeman's being paid. And my network wasn't winning all the time a lot like what Freeman's Dodgers are doing. I didn't have anybody sitting there going, Rich, this is your new team. You know, we're pretty good here, too. I was in. Freddie Freeman doesn't appear to be in yet, does he?
Doesn't appear so.
He has got something in the past he needs to bury, and the first thing apparently he's using to bury is his agents. And, you know, do we have the NL West standings? I don't know if we have that built, but there it is. Thank you. Mike Hoskins on it. It's a crack staff, Rich Eisen show.
Close.
That's a game and a half lead. The Dodgers have as many wins as the Padres, and there are the Giants just five behind them. Remember I was joking the other day saying the Dodgers, like, can we just win 100 games in peace, please?
Yeah.
Because last year, you know, the Dodgers and the Giants had the same number of insane triple-digit wins. I mean, they need Freddie Freeman all in. Maybe you should talk to Mookie. What it's like to leave your East Coast championship team for Los Angeles. How you can live life. I don't know what's going on, man.
It's weird.
It is a signer's remorse.
But it's not like he's struggling. He's hitting over 300.
Yeah.
He's.
Yeah, so what do you think the Dodgers are thinking right now?
Like, I have no idea.
Clayton Kershaw, the leader, okay? The man who's now above the guy who just got a statue outside of Dodger Stadium, I think, earlier this month, Sandy Koufax, in the record books for lefties in the history of this organization. The leader in that clubhouse and tenured Dodger is saying it. I hope we're not second fiddle. We've got a pretty special team here, too. He almost went Acuna. He almost went full Acuna on Freeman there. You don't want to go full Acuna on Freeman.
Never go full
Acuna. I don't know what's up.
It's weird.
It's weird. It's rare. And it's something to keep an eye on. As the All-Star game's here. Did Freeman make the All-Star team as a Dodger?
Let me check how the voting's going. Let's see.
He'll be upset about that? That he can't go home to Atlanta? I shouldn't.
But he's from out here. He's from Orange County.
I'm making fun. I'm making light, and I shouldn't, because again, I know how emotional it is when you feel like you could have stayed somewhere and kept everything going. And I have no earthly idea. And this could be born out of, I don't know, how old are his children? You know, if his kids are having a rough time adjusting to Southern California life, they pulled him out of school. They don't have their same friends. Like, there's a lot of life stuff that I'm glossing over here. That I might be, you know, out of line having a little bit of light with it, but it's very weird, and I know Dodger fans are already talking about it, and I'm wondering if Dodger players are too. And it was kind of like Clayton saying, "Hey, it's time to turn the page. You're here."
Freddie's third in first base voting, behind Paul Goldschmidt and the Polar Bear.
Oh yeah, baby, Polar Bear's gonna win that one.
He is not going to win that.
Paul Goldschmidt has 1.6
million. Oh, that's right. Cardinals fans are.
Yeah, it's just, it's so
Cardinals
ridiculous.
Cardinals fans open up a Budweiser and then stuff the ballot box,
yeah,
right?
I mean,
I think you can vote 10 times per day, I think, for your
is that right?
I think so.
Oh, I thought it was five. You mean I can do five more? I've been slacking?
Five more.
Dang.
Oh, my gosh. All right, we'll take a break.
Mookie's your leading vote getter.
There's one thing I want to talk about is this first order business with Jeff Passan. Worldwide leader in sports, which also just dropped a long read from Don Van Natta on Rob Manfred. the commissioner of baseball. So lots to talk about
Brock
with
was
him.
Saying earlier how much he loved that story.
Oh, he loves Rob Manfred. Although when we met him, you kind of digged him. You kind of like meeting him.
I mean, you're nice to everyone.
All right.
I got a picture of you guys hugging it out.
DJ Moore of the Carolina Panthers will tell us what's going on in his neck of the woods. Also, Mark Hubbard, PGA Tour player, getting ready for the John Deere. I'll ask him if the Saudis have reached out to him. And then Ron Shelton in studio on hour number three. Do not miss that. It will be dynamite. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program as well. Jeff Passan on the World of Baseball when we come back. Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio outfit, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We saw him at the Emmy Awards, right?
We did.
In New York City.
His
last time we saw him.
Tremendous.
I mean, my gosh, chiseled head of hair. Unbelievable. The only thing better than his chiseled head of hair is his game as a writer and a reporter and a tweeter and a television information hair man of note. From the worldwide leader in sports. Our sound man just wanted to add something, but turned his microphone off.
I was typing something, and I would have been yelled at.
Very good. At any rate, that's why we didn't win the Emmy, and he was part of a piece that did win an Emmy that night.
Yes.
The worldwide leader in sports. And on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, Jeff Passan here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm well, Rich. I too, have an empty nest right now.
Oh my God! Hold on a minute. What phone are you on? It sounds like you're talking through an auto tune. Where are you right now?
All right, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna get off these stupid headphones.
Oh my God!
We're gonna get on.
Oh my God! There we go. Dude, you sounded like one of those 60-minute interviewees that needs to be hidden so the tobacco industry didn't come after you. Like that's what it sounded like.
Yes. Charlie Brown's teacher.
Here's the thing you understand. About
No, yeah. I was last night. So one of my kids is at camp. Are going to camp tomorrow.
Okay.
And another one is on a dude ranch in rural Arizona with my parents right now.
Okay.
And, you know, I got back from a trip and I come home and it's just me and my wife. Like, we haven't had this for a long time. And it's great. It's quiet.
It's eerie.
At the end of the night.
Yes.
I came into the room and I looked at her and I was like, you know what sucks? She's like, what? And I said, chores. And having to take the trash out because your kids normally are the ones who take it out and having to do the dishes and having to sweep the floor.
Dude.
All the crap that you make your kids do, all of a sudden, you're the one who's got to do it again.
And it really
gives you an appreciation for what you're putting your kids through.
What sort of Oliver Twist operation are you running there in the Passan household? Jeff,
you got to teach work ethic.
No,
right?
No, I understand that. No, you're right. You're right.
You have to make sure your children do not grow up of obnoxious privilege.
Is it wrong that in the last 3 days I haven't taken the trash out once? Is that a problem?
I don't know. No. I mean, how wasteful are you? Fill up quickly?
How wasteful are you? I love that. I'm very wasteful, man, including your time here on the Rich Eisen Show. So let's jump right into it. Jeff, the Freddie Freeman scenario that is unfolding here in Los Angeles is intriguing. I mean, the guy is contributing. The guy is producing like Freddie Freeman. We expect him to be. But the emotional moment in Atlanta, the letting go of his agents, the quote from Clayton Kershaw saying that I hope we're not second fiddle.
Right.
It appears that a page has not been turned by Freddie Freeman yet. Let's get into it. What can you tell me about the Freeman negotiations between the Braves and his team when he was a free agent that is still festering?
I think when it comes down to it, Freddie Freeman has said this. He wanted to be back in Atlanta. And this turned out to be a very cutthroat negotiation where Freddie Freeman's side wanted a certain number of years and a certain amount of dollars. And the Braves essentially said, we're not going to do that, and went out and traded for Matt Olson. Like, the Braves were ready to turn the page, I think, before Freddie Freeman was. And in free agency for him, you know, for a lot of guys, it's Valhalla. Like, I'm going out there. I get to chart the course of my career and my life. I get to pick one of 30, and there's great power in that, but there is also great responsibility. And the responsibility in this situation goes beyond the baseball stuff. It dovetails directly with your life and with what makes you happy. And I think Freddie Freeman probably didn't recognize in the moment what was going to make him happiest and prioritize that and make sure to say to his agent, this is what I want to do. Dollars are not the most important thing to me. I want to be where I want to be. And where he wanted to be was Atlanta, and where he is Los Angeles. But I also think that this is the sort of thing where a few years down the road, we're just going to look at it like, hey, this was his moment of closure. This was the time where the emotion got out and where I appreciated, frankly, the way he spoke his truth and was willing to be a human being publicly and say things that you're not supposed to say. But to me, it's a lot different if he is not producing. I think the fact that he's been as good as he's been, that he's hitting 300, the on-base is almost 400, that the slugging is almost 500, it's a classic Freddie Freeman season. And there are a lot of faults that are forgiven if you're out there producing. So what Clayton Kershaw said, it's understandable. Like, mm-hmm. I totally get it. But at the same time, I wonder if this past weekend is going to, in the long run, be seen as the time of closure where he, you know, to steal a cliche, he became a Dodger.
Well, the question I have is why would it this be the moment where he changes representation? Is it possible he found out something he was unfamiliar with about his negotiations this past week in a tunnel, a hallway, an office, a moment, a phone call, being back in Atlanta? Is that possible?
I mean, I suppose it's possible. I think he probably knows the course of how things went, though, at this point. And sometimes it takes time to process this sort of thing. I mean, he, you know, the rumor throughout the industry was that he had fired his agents. He came out publicly and he's still working through things with them.
Okay.
You know, Buster only reported that he's listed as self-represented at this point. And frankly, it's all inside baseball and kind of drama. And I don't know that, you know, agent goings on are really all that material, frankly, to the general public. This is just one of those things where it's a car crash and people are rubbernecking to try and understand what exactly happened, when what happened is it's done. It's in the past. It's buried. And Freddie Freeman took a pen, put it in his hand, and signed on a line that said 6 years and $160 million with the Los Angeles Dodgers.
No, and I know that, Jeff Passan. The two things that I'm just fascinated by, and then the other one, I'm in, you know, concerned. The fascinating one is, you know, we've all been in negotiations. You have for your job. I have multiple times, and you know, and I just know that you'll get at some point a last and best from your employer, you know, with the message of, we love you, this is it. You know, and if you come back and you push and say, well, this is mine, then that's the end of that. You know, I learned that the hard way with ESPN in 2003. And I have used that as a frame of reference every single time I've been involved in a negotiation.
Yeah.
Did that not happen? Did Freeman think it was still possible to accept a Braves offer and then found out Matt Olson was coming? Is that literally what happened? Like, because that's,
you know,
the way I'm reading it.
There are enough stories bouncing around and enough versions of it that I honestly don't know what the actual truth is here. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some who believe he wasn't told specifically what the offers were. Mm. I have a difficult time believing that, because if that's the case, then either someone is blatantly just not doing his job, or more likely, you're not asking the right questions. Like, there needs to be some agency, no pun intended, in this process, right? Like, if you are the free agent, certainly you're giving the duty to the agent to go out and negotiate on your behalf,
right.
But you need to be involved. This is your life. You need to know everything that's going on to demand knowing everything that's going on. And I think that, you know, Freddie Freeman has been with his agency for the entirety of his career. And, you know, that trust was there. And one just hopes that trust isn't breached in a situation like that.
Well, and again, the reason why you call it inside baseball is you and I are having a conversation about a player and an agent, and that really doesn't mean much to the common fan,
right,
or any fan or the uncommon fan, what have you. But what does is that even though Freeman is producing on the field in a manner that he's gotten us accustomed to, and that the Dodgers were buying, that Clayton Kershaw still felt the need to say, I hope we're not second fiddle. And that's the thing, right? Like,
yeah.
That's
and listen,
the thing.
That's a, like, Clayton Kershaw doesn't just say things.
Exactly, right?
I know.
I
mean, I think that there represented the nicest way possible to say, hey, for all of this love you're giving the Braves, we understand it. I, Clayton Kershaw, a guy who has spent his entire career with the same team, certainly is in a position to understand it. But at the same time, okay, it's done. We're almost halfway through this first season. You got everything out you needed to get out. Now let's move on and go win a ring.
Jeff Passan here on the Rich Eisen Show. So is there any possibility that baseball sees the brawl between the Angels and the Mariners and does something? Another rule change? Nothing.
No.
Like, that's cool.
I don't like brawls. Okay, I take that back. I'm amused by them. I was on another program earlier today, and I will repeat what I said there. It brings out, like, my inner Beavis. I just sit there, and I'm like, fight. I get very excited about that. But then you see Archie Bradley breaks his elbow in it. And you see Anthony Rendon going out there and shoving Jesse Winker in the face with a cast on his right arm, and he's shoving with his left. And you see Phil Nevin get suspended for 10 games. You don't get suspended for 10 games if you didn't do something that was beyond the pale if you're a manager. And you see Jesse Winker get 7 games when – if he had, and listen, I understand why he was as mad as he was. The reality is, if Jesse Winker turns around and walks to first base, this doesn't happen. So there was clearly some fire there that was going on, and it's not a surprise that two underachieving teams that are below 500 and that had playoff aspirations and are on the outside looking in right now want to show themselves that there's still some fight in them. And they took the figurative, Rich, and made it literal.
So why wouldn't baseball, at the very least, automatically suspend anybody who comes in from a bullpen? Anybody who runs 300 feet to join a fray? And if I'm not mistaken, two of the players who got suspended...
That's a very interesting question. I had this debate with my dad probably a month or so ago.
Okay.
And his thing was, if you come off the bench, then you should be suspended. And my problem with that is, if that's the rule that's in place, it's 1-on-9.
Right.
Right? It's the batter against an entire team. And what happens if that entire team happened to be the aggressors? If you're a teammate of a guy who's out there literally on an island, you want to go in and make sure he's safe. And that's why J.P. Crawford was coming over the top with his forearm strikes. And that's why Julio Rodriguez was in the middle of it. They were out there to stick up for their guy. And I don't blame them for that. Like, I frankly appreciate sticking up for your teammate. But remember, in scenarios where I think it was maybe Hunter Strickland threw a pitch at someone, and the guy really wanted to charge him out, and Buster Posey could have held him back and didn't. Buster Posey was essentially saying, you know, I'm so tired of this. Yeah, just go beat him up. It's fine. Maybe he'll learn something if he gets punched in the face. I do think that players are going to look at this, Rich, and say 7 games is a lot of time to miss for Jesse Winker. And especially if I'm on a playoff caliber team, I can't afford to right. miss that time if I'm one of the more productive players, if I'm one of the more important players on the team. Because if I do, it could be the difference between our team making the playoffs and not.
I know, and Tapera and Iglesias, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's the second inning. I'm assuming they entered the fray from the bullpen. But if you are suspending a manager like Nevin 10 games, right, and Winker 7, you're clearly trying to stop this. You're clearly yeah. trying to create a deterrent. Why would you then right, because why would you allow 20 more people to enter a fray, Jeff? Like, why would you do that? Why just say, you guys, let the this 22-on-22 is fine, right? Like, there's whoever, or how many people are on a major league bench at any given time? 30
on a bench?
Yeah, like 30, 35?
No, not even close.
I mean, I'm including interpreters here now, as clearly the baseball's disciplinary committee did. So that's what I'm saying. Like, human beings, all like any human being with fists and the gumption to want to throw them. Like, why are we adding 20, 30 more people to the fray?
Yeah, like, part of me looks at it like when you have that number of people who are on the benches already, is keeping the relievers out of it really going to make it bad? You know, I suppose there could be a hothead in there who is going to
throw gum,
you know,
throw gum and throw peanuts, throw peanut bins on the field. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, that was the other thing, too. That was the circus-like aspect of it. Like, it's all over, and now here comes a guy who's pissed about getting ejected, throwing gum around. Like, now players are picking up gum off the infield. Like, what are we doing? You know, I mean, I don't know.
Can I be honest with you?
Yes, sir.
My favorite part of
the whole thing
was Rendon going left-handed, like he did on the swing against Brett Phillips.
But, did he connect? Did he connect it like he did on Phillips, too?
He did.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a pretty good shot to the face. But my second favorite part was the slow-mo shot of Raisel Iglesias seeding the field. That was awesome.
Is it the first instance of an interpreter ever being suspended by baseball? Is that a...
For an on-field incident, to my knowledge, yes. And... I mean,
will the Angels be able to replace him as an interpreter, or will they will just have a communication problem for those two games?
I think that one day it may be problematic. It just make sure it's not on the day. Well, if we look at the rotation, I don't know that there's a Spanish speaking starter.
Is Trout trying to get hooked on phonics real quick over the next 2 days to try and contribute in that respect? So I'm trying to lighten it up a little bit here, I guess. Oh, man.
I appreciate it.
Jeff Passan, thank you for the time, sir. Really appreciate it. Always enjoy our chats. Enjoy the time, the quiet time at home. Take care, brother.
I'm going to go do some chores.
Okay, and throw out that headset. That's garbage. I don't know where you got that from. It was terrible.
Bye, Rich.
Okay, take care. Jeff Passan, everybody. At Jeff Passan. One of our favorites. Go ahead. You tell me if I'm on the lawn here on this brawl stuff. Telling the kids to get off it. Go ahead. You can tell me.
It's kind of like fighting in hockey. It's like oddly necessary.
Is it?
I think.
Well, I mean.
I don't know. I've never been. I mean. I'm just growing
saying,
up. I hit
like,
people. It never, you know, never escalated.
Dude broke his elbow.
But that's his own fault.
Because he fell coming off the bench.
Yeah. Like stay in the dugout. If you're injured.
No, you're not. Look. Wasn't injured.
Rendon too. You already have a broken arm. You're out for the year.
Yeah, but
what are you doing?
It's the id is kicking in that moment. Like we're gonna go throw hands. Okay.
What about Rendon makes you think that he wouldn't be one of the first dudes?
That's what I'm just saying.
No, like,
I can still just understand the benches. I still don't understand. Like these people are, they're in a pen. It's called a pen. You're in a pen. You're penned in. You are literally penned in. You must open a gate and run
a long way.
Run the length of a football field. It's a 100-yard dash. You're undertaking a 300-plus-foot run to join this thing. Not just like, oh, God, that's in front of me. Oh, God, my guy's getting hit. I got to go. And I'm right there. It's right in front of me. I got to go. Like that instinct, that fight or flight moment, I understand. You fight.
Yeah.
I get that. But you're in the pen. You're all the way out there. You have to literally open a gate, pass through a fence, and go join.
And run.
Well,
right?
Well, lightly jog.
Try it.
Yeah, well, I mean, this, it's a light jog if you just think it's just, that's the worst offense. If it's just one of those pushing and shoving things and everybody comes out and it's just like, let's go back to our corners. We get it. You've made your point. And everybody runs in. But
how do you get rid of the brawl, though? How do you ban it?
You don't ban the brawl. You ban joining the brawl. And you can't put a full on, if you leave the bench, it's all over. As he said, 1-on-9 is
right.
Yeah. But I get what you're saying.
You are making a conscious decision. You may not join the fray. Sorry, bullpen guys. We know you're team players. We know you want to support your guys. We know you want to be there. You may not, because a fight amongst 60 people is much easier to break up and is less dangerous than a fight amongst 100. Isn't that simple math?
I mean, it does make sense.
Could you imagine if they still had
the carts? I'm more verbal than math, but it's simple math.
They got in the carts they used to drive the pitchers in?
Oh, my God. Oh,
that's what I said yesterday.
The Mr. Met
hop in the cart and jump in.
Would have been,
Marshawn Lynch.
Hop in the cart.
Running around.
Drive.
I don't know.
Take a break. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Ron Shelton coming up in hour 3. DJ Moore, the Carolina Panthers coming up. DJ Moore, the Carolina Panthers coming up. We'll talk a little bit of football and what's going on in Carolina. I don't know what he'll tell me about the quarterback situation, but I'll fish around a little bit.
I think he'll tell us everything that's going on.
He was on our fantasy team last year, so we'll let him know. He was dynamite.
Very good.
Terrific player. So he'll be joining us shortly. Just want to pause for a brief bit here and give a couple of cents about what we're hearing from the Deshaun Watson disciplinary proceedings that's going on right now between the NFL and the Players Association, and what's being reported, what's leaking out. And apparently this is day two. Sue L. Robinson is the independent judge that is going to rule on this. If she rules anything other than zero games, the commissioner has the right to lower it or increase it. And according to reports, the NFL went in and has asked, or their stance is an indefinite suspension, meaning Watson would have to sit out this year and then apply for reinstatement. I mean, that's the ultimate. And so that's on one end. That's the one end. And the other end is apparently the Players Association is asking for zero games. And look, I understand the stance of zero games from the standpoint of they want to point out the hypocrisy of the NFL's stance on disciplining owners and players. They want to do that. They also would love, I think, to really stick it to the league and have the first ever instance of this independent judge deciding discipline and then creating a situation for the commissioner where they put into the collective bargaining agreement, the commissioner can lower it or raise it as long as it's not zero. If it comes in at zero, the commissioner can't do anything. The league's hands are tied. And I think the Players Association would kind of love that. That it's just like, yeah, we told you should have been out of discipline a long time ago. You can't be the judge and jury. So they removed him as the jury part. The jury is this judge. And they want to remove the judge part too. I think they'd love that. But I just want to say this. If this comes up with zero games, there will be such a major hue and cry, including from this seat. Zero games for Deshaun Watson's behavior. All you got to do is just read these depositions and read the details and hear his complete, utter lack of ability to rationally explain himself. And when I say rationally, I mean for somebody who's, in my case, just very eager to hear something understandably exculpatory from him about his own behavior. And I haven't heard anything remotely close to that. And that if he gets zero games and gets to play all games and make $46 million, what a horrible look for everyone, including every other player in the association that I understand is doing its job right now. But just think of the ramifications if what comes out of all of this is Watson loses no games this year and makes all of his $46 million. What a mess that would be. So I just wanted to get that off my chest here as this process is going on. And again, I understand everybody's stances and what they're trying to do for future disciplinary hearings and also point out a hypocrisy. But I think Watson is the wrong vessel to point out a hypocritical moment and also to try and stake a claim on this method of discipline and this format of discipline. What a huge mistake that would be if it comes out with a big fat zero from all of this. Still here on NBC Sports on Peacock and NBC Sports Audio.
Is Kevin Costner the best movie star athlete of all time?
Best movie star athlete of all time. Well, we heard P. Diddy couldn't throw, right? So that's why he never made it to Friday Night Lights.
If you think about it, like in Bull Durham, he switch hits. He bats left and right-handed.
Obviously, he's played golf.
Obviously, he can throw. Really good golfer. Hits a 7-225.
He can pitch.
And he could pitch. He's got a pretty convincing, you know, form off the mound.
He could build a team.
I got one for you. Sylvester Stallone played soccer and...
Oh, soccer. Don't forget Victory.
Victory.
He was a terrible, convincing soccer player.
He was terrible. I'm just saying. I'm throwing that out there as a joke.
Victory is the sports version of The Great Escape.
Yes.
Got it.
As if they made a sports movie. They remade The Great Escape, but made it a
sports movie. Yeah, he was the goalie. Right? Because he couldn't play. That's the joke. Yes, right. They threw him in the net. But he saves the game.
He can train. We know that. He can run down a chicken.
I mean, him and Carl Weathers on the beach in Santa Monica running. Come on.
Oh, yeah, and hugging it out. I don't know. Costner can hit, throw, golf.
Just trying to think of other.
I appreciate the.
Like Jamie Foxx. You know, he's a pretty good quarterback. He's long rumored to be making this Mike Tyson movie.
Is that right? I mean, Costner's shown off a ton of ability.
Yeah.
I mean, has Corbin Burnson been anything else? I mean, I'm trying to go through other sports movies.
Well, we got to say Mark Harmon. Quarterback UCLA.
Yeah, but I'm saying in his movies.
But he was just in one movie,
in
Stealing
his movies,
Home.
He's not playing sports.
I know. I'm just
which is my favorite there. My favorite autographed item in this sports item in this studio is the bat. The Billy Wyatt bat from Stealing Home that we had both Mark Harmon and Jodie Foster autograph. That's got to be a one of one on planet Earth.
Oh, yeah, and that was my question to you, Chris. Do you mean like the person who is the best actor who plays in sports movies or the person who plays the best athletes in the movie?
No, the actor who shows off the best athletic prowess. That you're not looking at like he can't throw.
Yeah.
Right. He can't hit.
Right.
She can't throw. Yeah. She can't hit.
That's what I was thinking about.
Could be Madonna. I don't know.
Gina Davis.
I mean,
yeah.
Olympic archer. Gina Davis.
True that.
Very good. Good chat, everybody.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.